This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. Paul Charchian.
Tons of risk, tons of upside.
The leader at FanBall and League Safe.
The leader is good. The leader is great. We surrender our will as of this day.
Guiding you through the waiver wire.
Let's hit the bike.
I picked it up off the waiver wire.
That's stealing.
Fantasy Sports Hall of Famer.
Don't act like you're not impressed.
Charch.
Championship.
With Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Time for Paul Charchian of FanBall.com, LeagueSafe.com, NK Fan. He is on Twitter at Paul Charchian. And Charch, if you don't mind, we got a little bit of breaking news here outside of football. I just want to get to this. I want to read this statement that has been sent out from the Chinese government and translated into English by CNBC. It's just two paragraphs. I'll read it in its entirety. We have noticed that Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, who is participating in an event in Japan, has responded to Houston Rockets general manager Morey's post of inappropriate Hong Kong-related remarks. We are strongly dissatisfied and we oppose Silver's claim to support Morey's right of free expression. We believe that any speech that challenges national sovereignty and social stability is not within the scope of freedom of speech. To this end, CCTV Sports Channel of the Central Radio and Television Administration has decided to immediately suspend the current broadcast arrangements of the NBA preseason China games and immediately investigate all cooperation and exchanges involving the NBA.
Well,
yeah, that means the NBA is real close to losing $4 billion of business because that government does not recognize freedom of speech the same way this government and society does.
That escalated quickly.
Real quick, $4 billion up for grabs and probably gone.
Wow.
Hi, okay. Charge.
Wow.
Watch how fast the NBA bends the knee. It's going to be instant. You know, when it comes down to money versus human rights, we know how this thing usually goes.
Yep.
And, you know, the poor people of Hong Kong are just on an island. They get no help from anybody. They get no support because China has so many levers to pull, and they're so economically rich that, you know, countries can't support them. It's really sad that the NBA, I mean, we're talking about a basic human right to, you know, free speech. You know, it's amendment, you know, this is the First Amendment. This is the most important thing in the world, is the ability to express yourself, and the NBA can't even come out and support the ability to have free speech. It's sad that money is so important that you can't support somebody's right to express themselves. It's absurd and disturbing, and it tells us everything about what China's really all about, which is maintaining the status quo. You know, there are people on top of this dictatorship that are extraordinarily rich and extraordinarily powerful, and they're going to do whatever it takes to stay that way.
I love it, Charge. Flex it a little bit. I'm digging it.
It bugs me.
And it bugs
really,
me, too.
It's really sad.
It bugs
it's
me,
really
too.
Sad.
There's no simple answers here. Kind of, this. Here's your butchered segue for the day, kind of like the waiver wire right now. Here you go. I got it for you. Don't worry. I'll butter up this bread. I mean, gee, man, this is not a target-rich environment, this waiver wire this week.
There isn't. I'll give you, there's three guys worth mentioning, and let's just zip through these three, and then let's move on to some other NFL stuff. If you need a quarterback this week, four teams off on bye, Kyle Allen goes up against Tampa, a secondary that has been a disaster over the past month. Their last four opponents, all inconsistent passers, dominating the Bucs with an average of 375 passing yards and two touchdowns. Teddy Bridgewater hadn't thrown more than two touchdowns in a game. Well, he'd only done it once, and it was 2015. He just threw four touchdowns against Tampa. So you can go to war with him if you need to. There's one wide receiver I think people should look into. Kiki Cutie for Houston is now he was coming off an ACL injury, and he's finally worked himself back into a heavy spot of the rotation. Deshaun Watson's fantasy football's highest scoring quarterback. We want all of his weapons accounted for. and a potentially good matchup this week against Kansas City. And lastly, at tight end. Everybody's looking for tight end help. Hunter Henry's close to coming back. He's practicing now, and he's been released in over half of leagues. He's an elite tight end when healthy. The Chargers need him, and they need all the weapons they can get. They're banged up at two different receiver spots. So Hunter Henry's coming back. Might be this week, might be next week. He belongs on rosters.
A lot of Bears fans drafted David Montgomery awfully high in their fantasy draft. I know you did, Charge. And I don't think it's his fault that he's not a fantasy producer at the very least. We can talk about actual production, what it means to win in ball games a little later on. But what should David Montgomery owners do?
You know, I was more wrong on Montgomery and his usage than anything else going back to the preseason and, you know, what I was hoping and expected to see from him, and it just hasn't materialized. And I agree. I don't think it's necessarily his fault. I think it's been both underutilized, just 11 rushes last week against the Raiders in a close game. That was just, you know, I realized the Raiders got out to an early lead, but that shouldn't evaporate your running game by any means. And part of it's a bad offensive line play, and I'll put some of it on Montgomery, too. I mean, he's only averaging 3.5 yards per carry. That's not good enough either. So you roll all that together. And by the way, all coming off the bye, Mike Davis probably rolls into that week healthy. And now what? Are we looking at a three-man backfield again like we were in before Davis was hurt? Oh, man, depressing. Right now, you can't start David Montgomery. I know it's that. I don't think you drop him outright. But he's not startable at this point.
And how do you expand that to more with the Bears' offense right now? We know that Allen Robinson has become either the guy who's trusted or the guy who's closest to open.
Yeah.
None of the tight ends are producing. Tariq Cohen, who I think, you know, at the end of last year, you were very high on him going into this year, that the offense is so bad now that it's really suppressed any individual.
No, I agree with that. And I'm sure there's probably no small amount of debate about who your quarterback should be, even healthy, and that's part of what happens when the offense looks the way it has for this season. And Robinson's been the only receiver that's gotten anything resembling consistency and targets. He played 305 snaps this year, which is more than any other player on the entire offense. And he's, you know, after him, it's just been a mishmash of guys. They're getting so little out of Miller and Gabriel, just the one good game, and Javon Wims. Do I have to even think about Javon Wims? Javon Wims is second in snaps. It's come to this for an offense that has unfortunately really, really been a disappointment for fantasy owners. And it's really come down to just one reliable player. And Allen Robinson, frankly, he, even game in and game out, he hasn't been that reliable for fantasy use. And I don't see it changing in the short term.
What should people do with all the fancy, shiny Browns weapons we were promised heading into this season?
Panic,
yeah.
Mostly. I mean, Mayfield's been bad. Offensive line's has been bad as well. And then when he's under pressure, he's been terrible. He just had a 100-yard game in a game in which they were behind a lot, and he should have passed more than he did. 100-yard game, probably the worst game of his career. He has 4 touchdowns on the season. Baker Mayfield, who I think everybody thought he was going to make the big leap in year 2, he's dead last in touchdowns among quarterbacks who have played every game this year. Dead last, Baker Mayfield. And here we're talking about all the weapons that they got added and how this offense was ready to explode. None of it's come to fruition, and now he gets Seattle. It's a decent enough secondary that you don't even feel comfortable starting Baker Mayfield in that situation, either in a home game against Seattle on a short week, and you probably won't start him. And I hate to say it, you could drop Baker Mayfield. There are better guys out there potentially that you could go more with, and somebody else will pick him up, potentially start him, and maybe they suffer all the same things that you've been suffering with as a Baker Mayfield owner to this point.
How pleased are Christian McCaffrey owners, how is his insane production relative to what you expected?
Well, you know, we knew he'd be good. He was, you know, he was in the top 3 for pretty much everybody's rankings, and including mine, and that, you know, we knew he'd be good. What the difference is, he's on pace to touch the ball 450 times. That's not sustainable, and if they keep doing it, they'll run him into the ground. They can't keep doing that. Carolina's throwing the ball second least in the NFL. They have to start reversing some of that and getting some normalcy back into their passing game. Kyle Allen's been pretty good, and I think you'll see an uptick in his passes this week for some of the reasons we mentioned earlier. McCaffrey's in the MVP conversation. He should be. Because he's carrying an entire team like many quarterbacks do that typically win this. One time, roughly every 10 years, a non-quarterback wins the MVP award, and McCaffrey's in that discussion right now. And obviously, an every week starter for fantasy use. But bigger point being, they have to dial back his usage because running backs just can't keep doing what he's doing.
Running back Philip Lindsay of the Denver Broncos has re-emerged, I think, maybe 114 yards and a score against the Chargers last week. Had a couple of catches as well. Should I be going out to buy Philip Lindsay from whomever picked him up, or should I be selling him high?
He's so good. Philip Lindsay is awesome. And the fact that the Broncos keep giving him split carries evenly with Royce drop the piano Freeman is ridiculous. You know, Freeman gives you nothing but whatever his offensive line gives him. He's a shiftless, straight-ahead plotting runner. And then they hand the ball off to Lindsay, and it's electric. He makes a guy miss. He's nimble. He's got the speed. He turns the 3-yard gain into the 8-yard gain. It's night and day, and I got to believe that sooner or later, this thing is not going to be 50-50 for much longer. Remember, they started last year trying to do a roughly even timeshare, but Lindsay was just too good, and they ended up giving him the vast majority of the work. That's what Denver needs to do now, and I do think you buy on Lindsay on the prospect that sooner or later they just have to give their best running back way more than 50% of the carries.
I know you said there's really nobody on the waiver wire, but there was a guy whose name I kept hearing called, and he happened to be on a nationally televised game, and it was Byron Pringle of the Kansas City Chiefs. should we crack open the can there?
Freaking Byron and the Chiefs. I mean, every week. So if you'd have just chased the hot receiver every week, you never get the same guy twice. It was Sammy Watkins in week one, and then it was DeMarcus Robinson in week two, and then it was Mecole Hardman. Now we got Byron freaking Pringle. Come on, they're killing me with this. And now it's all going to get that much more confused. Tyreek Hill may be back this week. And if not this week, almost certainly next week. And super frustrating for fantasy owners. Sammy Watkins gets knocked out early in the game, and now it's all Byron Pringle. Do not go reaching for Byron Pringle. Watkins could come back. Hill could come back. That's the end of Pringle's run. That's the end of that.
The Aaron Rodgers, Matt LaFleur experience has been an interesting one to watch. They had a whole bunch of touchdowns by a different Aaron this last week against Dallas. They thoroughly owned them, but Rodgers himself only has one game over 300 yards and six touchdowns total. Do you figure this picks up, or do you invest in Green Bay's running game?
So, you know, for Aaron Rodgers, this thing goes back. It's not just even this year and this offense. If you go back to week 10 of last year, Aaron Rodgers is one touchdown pass per game. That's it. And most fantasy owners, you know, you drafted Aaron Rodgers reasonably early, and he's Aaron Rodgers. He's going to the Hall of Fame, and you just automatically put him in your lineup. He is hurting you, and you have to be wise enough to be looking at these matchups. Now, related to that, Aaron Jones is really good. And for basically his whole career, we've been begging the Packers to use him like a workhorse and stop with the stupid Jamal Williams experiment and the 50-50 timeshare there, which is brutal. Williams is no good, and he finally gets hurt. And now we get to look at what happens when the Packers give all of the carries to Aaron Jones. He's great, and he pays off huge for his fantasy owners. We can only hope when Williams comes back, they do not go back to the timeshare, and they keep using Aaron Jones for most of those carries because he's really good, and they're getting a look at all the positivity that happens. They just smoked the Cowboys in Dallas. That is no small victory, and largely because of Aaron Jones.
Charge, thank you as always. Appreciate it. Look forward to talking next week.
It's been fun. We'll talk to you in a week. Bye-bye.
That's Paul Charchian, the bottom of the hour, brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join Northwestern Basketball at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season. Home opponents include Michigan State, Michigan, and Illinois. Season tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team are on sale now at nusports.com.
Yeah, next week we'll talk to Charch. Hopefully there's more on the waiver wire, and we will deal with the economic policy of Chad. We're also going to get into that with Charchian. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're into.
Yeah, good stuff, though. Good strong stuff.
No, it really was. When we come back, there's been some baseball discussion over the last couple of days here regarding something David Sampson said to somebody about an 18-year-old conversation that popped up, and Steve Stone came out strong on Twitter against them. I'm all Steve Stone. But Stoney also offered a tweet about the conclusion, the inevitable conclusion about the Twins-Yankees series in the playoffs that I kind of have to pick a bone with. And I'd love to. He knows so much more about baseball than I do, but I don't see where he's coming from here particularly. And I think this conversation might have something to do with the way that the Cubs are going to look to rebuild their offense in the coming season as well.
Speaking of baseball, Joe Sheehan is scheduled to join us at 1:20. You're thinking, wait, 1:20? What are you doing? Well, Lawrence Holmes is on vacation, so we're picking up the slack by also covering his hours today. And I think I said Thursday before, Friday.
Friday.
Friday, we're also going to do the same. And in our extended version here, we're going to talk to Dylan Strome of the Blackhawks just after noon. And we have some glorious Mike Leach sound to play, too. Huge, long chunk in the noon hour that we're going to play from Mike Leach and then Joe Sheehan, but some baseball talk is straight ahead on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.